Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Sean, yesterday I asked you a question about potential ways to make your airport experience less stressful, easier. Well, here's another way. TSA is now allowing passengers to fly with medical marijuana in both their carry-on and check bags. So marijuana can be carried on your flight. I don't know if you're allowed to partake. I'm not sure where the rules stand there, but the laws are loosening around marijuana, even at the federal level at our airport. So just letting you know, guys, if that is something you considered and your name either is or isn't Rashee Rice, now in some ways there are less rules in that regard. But if you're on probation, maybe still stay
a
away
lot
from
of
it.
Rules when you're on probation. Maybe there's still, a lot of them.
Maybe still stay away from it. I was watching, I think it's called Speakeasy. It's the podcast that the less favorable Acho does and LaShawn McCoy does.
Mm. Where they have uncomfortable conversations?
No, that's the one where he's solo, I believe. This is the one where they just are boys talking about sports.
More comfortable conversations.
Yes, and LaShawn McCoy was very funny. He's like, Rashee Rice must love that stuff. Must love it. 30 days? 30 days in jail? If they catch you? How much does he love it?
Listen, he just had surgery, you know, just wants to take his mind off things.
He proposed
relax.
He proposed naming whatever strand that was after Rashee Rice and Josh Gordon. That's how good the stuff is. It's worth 30 days in jail.
Yeah.
So
Rashee Rice, there's something there. You can name something Rashee
Rice. If you don't know, Rashee Rice, who was on probation for past offenses, could not stay away from the from weed, and now he will have to spend 30 days in jail and miss OTAs and some other stuff for the Chiefs because things are going great for him. I don't remember them putting a lot into the wide receiver position over the offseason. I guess they just assumed their guy who was always in trouble would stay out of trouble. And he said, I don't know if you've met me before. I'm Rashee Rice. I get in trouble. So the Chiefs,
stay off the weed.
It's not something Rashee Rice wants to do, Sean. And he didn't do it.
No thanks.
He's not interested in Stephen A's advice. Much like
both him and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Rashee Rice, if he heard that, would say F Stephen A, Stephen B, and Stephen C, just like Jaylen Brown did. So the Chiefs, who have tortured the Texans from time to time over the last decade or so, will be without their star receiver, at least for the next 30 days. We'll see if the NFL has anything to say about Rashee Rice and a punishment, considering he's simply a guy who can't stay out of trouble. So we got a couple things to get to. Certainly, the Cavs and how unserious they are will be a topic of conversation, and the fact that James Harden is the gift that keeps on giving to anyone who's a hater or someone who just likes to laugh at the failures of someone. He's out there. We'll get to that. But Sean, despite the morning show's attempt to ignore it, today is a special day. It's Jason Alexander Day. And normally when we reference our hero, we would simply just play the little drop. Remind the people, Sean, about the drop. Caught him unawares.
I have to find it.
Caught him unawares. It's on your page.
Had to stay off the weed.
It's on your page someplace. But so normally a random reference of mine by Jason Alexander would require that in response. But when you go out there in a surprise start, because in a less surprising, news, Lance McCullough's on the IL. When you go out there and pitch the way you did, one start, one gem so far for Jason Alexander, you got to hit him with the entire song. And we'll have that playing underneath at least as we talk about what happened last night. The Astros needing a start, desperate for pitching help. Who do they turn to? The guy who was 10-3 with last year when he started. He didn't get to 10-3 because the offense let him down when he was out there. I think he was only 4-2. But when Jason Alexander started last year, the Astros were 10-3. Now they're 1-0. Jason Alexander, after being brought back from his stint in Sugarland, after being misused as a bullpen option. Look, I'm not a guy who's like, fire the manager. But what Joe Espada did to Jason Alexander in those two previous appearances, not fireable.
Malpractice.
But someone needs to question Joe Espada on what he was up to. What are you doing?
Put his feet to the fire.
Clearly, you got a guy who, when he starts, gives you good performances. Of course he was terrible in the bullpen. That's not his role. You saw it happen with Ryan Presley. He took away his closer role, and he turned into a pumpkin. And now he's like helping the Twins with player development and somehow working for Space Stadium Network at the same time. I don't know. He was in his twin stuff and talking with former Astros. I saw that picture. But back to our guy. You put him back in the role that he was born for, and look what happens. At a drop of a hat, he gives you six strong of no runs given up. You know, I mean, he's barely breaking 92 or whatever, but still, the changeup was working. The fastball that can double the changeup was working. We got it all from our guy. And why? Because there he goes. I don't want to see Jason Alexander, you know, shackled to whoever is a guy who starts, whether it be Burroughs, not tomorrow, not today, obviously, but in the future, or maybe shackled with Emi because you just want the backup. Put that man in the rotation. What other option do you have? Should have been done from the start of the year. Will the Astros be contending for the division? Well, it only takes two extra wins, and you would. So, yeah, probably. I mean, if they were...
If Jason Alexander gets his turn every fifth day.
Yeah, if that had been the thing from the start, the Astros would be in the thick of the AL West race because they're only five games back at this peak as they stand now. How bad the division is. Eric, I see you. We get to you when we come back. But let's honor our hero and go to break. Jason Alexander, welcome back to the starting rotation, hopefully. We'll talk to Eric and you at 713-780-3776 when we come back.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
Is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Astros have the Twins again today, 12:40. Mike Burrow's on the mound trying to win this series. That would be two series wins in a row. That'd be nice. See if Mike Burrow can bounce back. He had a not-so-great start against the Mariners in his last outing. It'd be nice if he got some run support. They barely hung on yesterday. A misplay of a ball late in the game. You had Brian Abreu who got through it but didn't look great doing it. But you win 2-1. And now, let's try to stack another series win on top of the last one with the Twins, who aren't great, throwing Joe Ryan against Mike Burrow. So we'll see if the Astros can get that done And it'll only start about 40 minutes after this show is over. All right, let's get to Eric here. He wants to join us. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. It's an honor calling the only FM sports show in Houston. Yeah, I was wondering, there's rumblings about, I talked about it earlier in the show, Irving coming to the Rockets and maybe Giannis, and then getting rid of KD and his contract. And also, Bill, I'm tired of your prejudice against white American-born players, and you picking white European players over them. Anybody knows will start their franchise with Cooper Flag, honking up and listen, over Luka.
Okay, so there's a couple things that happened on the previous show. I was going to say,
I've only been here for Jason Alexander and Rashee Rice talk.
Right? We have not done who would you start your franchise with. And this was coming off, I believe, a conversation from the morning show about Jason Kidd being fired. And the question was posed, who would you want to start your franchise with? 19-year-old Rookie of the Year Cooper Flagg or 27-year-old Luka? Both guys, John and Lance, took Cooper because he's younger and he's a better defender. And my retort was, I'm going to take the surefire Hall of Famer. He's only 27 years old and is one of the best scorers in the game. I'm taking him. Who I know at his best with a team put together at the midway point of a year can make a finals. And that's what happened as the Mavericks went on to lose to the Celtics in the finals. But that was a Luka joint because I believe, what, did Kyrie get hurt in the finals? Or was it the...
I think he was dinged up. Dinged but up, not out?
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember exactly. Their contention, as I said, was younger, better defender. Okay, that's fine. Another one of their points was everyone knows that Cooper Flagg is the next one. And John, because he's John, projected Hall of Famer for him. Cooper Flagg wasn't even most people, well, not most people's because he did win Rookie of the Year. He wasn't even the clear-cut Rookie of the Year. Konka Knipple was a guy who people thought highly of, partly because his team was better and they saw his contribution there. I'm not saying Cooper Flagg won't be good. I just am not taking him over a guy who I know is already great. And yes, Luka stinks on defense. That's fine. You can find ways to mitigate some of that, particularly if the team is completely built around him. Now, that's up to Rob Pelinka to find the answers. We'll see if LeBron is there, and they got to decide on Austin Reeves and how much they want to give him. So that could certainly hurt the trajectory of the Lakers if you're still paying LeBron, at least for another year, a lot of money, and then you're giving Austin Reeves as a second option the money he's going to want. So I can't speak to what the Lakers are going to do. I just know who I start my team with. I feel if I'm a competent GM, I can find answers to some of Luka's problems because Jalen Brunson can't defend anyone either. And we saw what he did last night, and the Knicks are in the conference finals again. John dared to call Luka James Harden. Yeah, I get they play the same way. But one guy, as the best player, got over the hump and led his team to a finals. Now, James's problem was, besides his own issues, was he had the Warriors to contend with. So Luka never had that to deal with. So there are some differences there, but Lucas also doesn't have the reputation of falling apart in big games. James certainly does.
Yeah.
And that happened again last
playoff
night.
Playoff riser, Luka Doncic.
As opposed to James Harden, who not only doesn't play as well, he has historic playoff disaster games.
In the five seasons that Luka was 20-24, he made All-NBA first team all 5 years.
So the question would, so I brought up like.
That's pretty good.
So I brought up.
And he's going to make it this year.
Yeah, so I brought up other first round picks and they pushed back. Hey, you can't compare him. The point wasn't that I think Cooper Flagg is going to be on a Zion trajectory where he can't stop eating. He runs into his own version of Maria Miles or I forgot how you say her last name. Just an adult film star. I'm not saying that.
Pick your favorite.
Yeah, whoever. I'm not saying that. And I mentioned Blake Griffin. I'm just mentioning that you had promising guys who were considered generational at one point in their when they were young players. And Blake Griffin was a really good player when he was young. You look at the accomplishments, all-stars, first team all, or at least all-NBA guy. Cooper Flagg would be lucky to have the first couple, 5 or 6 years of Blake Griffin's career if it turns out that way. So my point was I will take the sure bet and then go build around the sure bet as opposed to their projection, who rightfully so is considered one of the better young players in the league. But I guess that was too much for him because, you know, Luka doesn't play defense. Meanwhile, look at most stars in this league.
Yeah.
Other than, like, Shea's a good defender when he wants to be. But for the most part, like, that's why two-way guys are such a big deal. Most of your guys are average to below average. Luka certainly had his issues and continues to have them.
I mean,
but I would figure it out. I would hope as a GM.
A team 2 years ago figured it out.
This is what I brought up.
They didn't. It's not like it was a super team around. You know, it was Kyrie, who's really good.
They acquired Gafford and PJ Washington and made the finals.
Like that. That's in a rookie center and like you know,
Derek Lively. It wasn't like he was surrounded by the Monstars and made the finals. So yeah.
I think I agree with you. Just because I think we overrate potential just a little bit.
And that was my point with Zion and Blake. Yeah. Not that it will turn out that way. But look, Blake Griffin was a really good player, and he never was better than a conference finals appearance, I believe. Like one, or did the Clippers even do that?
Clippers did not make a conference finals.
The Rockets stole that from them. Yeah. So not even that. And he had Chris Paul. He had a Hall of Fame point guard next to him.
Yeah.
And at least at the time, a very productive athletics defensive center. So.
Mm-hmm. Future coach of the Lakers.
But he also had Doc Rivers next to him, so that's a problem.
That
Cooper Flagg won't have that, and he also won't have Jason Kidd.
Yeah. Yeah, not anymore. That is interesting. I mean, just firing a guy May 20th. I guess, you know, your president of basketball ops didn't get hired until 2 weeks ago. But that still is a little interesting. And it was the rare, at the introductory press conference, they asked him about Jason Kidd, and Masai Ujiri was like, everyone's under evaluation. Haven't made my decision yet. And normally that's just kind of like, okay, whatever, you know, conspiratorially, you're like, huh, that's interesting. But for him to actually just get fired a week later is actually like, oh, Masai is really going to walk the walk there.
And I didn't know that Henry Abbott had it out for Jason Kidd.
Oh, this is a great
Henry Abbott
tweet
long
of the night.
Long, yeah, with all the things going on, tweet Henry Abbott night. Broke through with his comments on Jason Kidd. If you don't know who Henry Abbott, long time journalist who has covered the NBA, he is an author, founder of True Hoop, worked for ESPN for a good bit, and so he has some sources. He knows people. And this is what he had to say about Jason Kidd. I've covered Jason Kidd when he played for the Nets. I know one of his childhood friends. I've been to his house, met his kids, then wife, and Pilates instructor. And I have some insight from many people who worked with him in his coaching years. This is a great firing. Like, he had us in the first half.
Yeah, when you drop met his kids.
You are just assuming he's going to talk about the mistake that Masai Ujiri just made firing Jason Kidd.
Or, like, he'll land on his feet. Like, you know, I know his value as a man.
He goes, actually, no. Masai made the right decision. Get him out of here. One of the all-time hating moves. Yeah. Because he led with what you thought was grace and compliments.
I've known him for 25 years.
And all he was doing was stating facts. You think he's going, hey, good guy. No, I'm just letting you know I know the guy.
So when I say that this
terrible
is a good
coach.
Firing, I am speaking with a lot of authority.
I got some background. I got some bona fides when it comes to covering this guy. You should believe me when I say that the Mavericks made the right decision.
And Jason Kidd, it's interesting because he's a good coach. I'm not going to say he's like, you know, top five, top 10, but he's good. He's not a disaster. But there does seem to be like a messy breakup every time.
It's true.
It's a little like Lane Kiffin-ish.
Yeah.
Where it's like every time it's going to end in a disaster and feelings will be hurt. A lot of times yours. But, you know, you'll get decent results. You know, like Lane Kiffin, like, you'll get pretty good results. This year they made the playoff with Lane Kiffin. Pete Golding then took them, whatever, two rounds further than everyone thought.
Sure.
But there is like he's not the best in the league, but you can do worse. And that's why we kind of put up with this.
Masai was like, I don't have to put up with this.
Yeah, Masai's like,
I'm doing the job. Me. I don't want to be saddled with you. And Jason Kidd, as a Mavericks coach, was very hit or miss. Made the conference finals, missed the playoffs. Made the NBA finals, then injuries took their toll. And, of course, you trade Luka, you're in real trouble. Missed the playoffs the last couple seasons. So he's out the door. As far as Eric's other thing, I have not heard that Kevin Durant will be used in a trade for any of the stars you mentioned. Yes, there is reporting out there that Kyrie Irving is a potential target for the Rockets. I don't know what that says about Fred, that the most important point guard in NBA history now maybe pushed out the door for Kyrie Irving. Okay, whatever.
Also, I have a hard time thinking they're trading for Kyrie Irving and not keeping Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I don't foresee that. And as far as Giannis is concerned, Giannis actually would have to tell people where he wants to play and actually be definitive about it, as opposed to the dance he likes to play as it currently stands. I don't take anything really serious about Giannis until, like, the draft is about a month.
I was going to say, can we do like a
like two weeks two out
week moratorium on Giannis talk?
Until it actually happens, I'm not taking it seriously, because I wouldn't be surprised if he's just a buck. Like, somehow, some way, after all the rumors, he comes out and goes, you know what, buck for life, because that's what time he's on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's probably like a 30% chance he's a buck.
Yeah, but that's too high for me at least to seriously consider it right now.
And that's probably like the highest any single team is, just because there's not really, like, we don't know the bidders, we don't know the Giannis preferred destination.
Yeah, we talk about the Rockets' potential lack of desperation to acquire him. We don't know where Giannis stands as far as his age and injury history, what that will mean for another team as far as how much they're willing to give up to get him into their building. So, okay. In a couple weeks, maybe, and or if there's anything substantial, we'll talk about it. But Eric is at the other range of substantial. We've got Shams, and then we've got Eric about his rumblings that he's heard.
Yeah. The Kyrie thing's interesting.
I would.
It depends on the price. It's another 30, like Kevin Durant.
He's 34, so I think it'd be about that same price if you're talking. Yeah. It would cost less than the
like
other
a real player or
than
real
Donovan
player,
Mitchell that people have floated out. Donovan Mitchell, part of an all-time collapse that we'll get to when we come back. So the Knicks, who were down by 22 in the fourth quarter, storm back to win. There's a lot to get to. I don't know who's most to blame, but we'll discuss it. I don't particularly enjoy Knicks' happiness, but when it comes at the expense of a franchise who has consistent playoff failures outside of LeBron's time there, it's something to at least talk about. So I'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN
97.5. You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean, you know about, it's an old joke, like how many people does it take to change a light bulb depending on how you want to insult somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it only took one Del Olalea, but it took far more time than it should last night because it was with my car, so I'll shoot myself some bail. I had to change the low beam bulbs on my car, and they went out, like one went out last week, and I go, okay, whatever, I'll get to it. And then the other one went out, so... Oh. Yesterday, I had to drive with, I guess you would call the fog lights to work, because people know the schedule. I'm up when it's still dark, so I had to do that. So I went over to the local parts place and got them. The first one went in easy. I was like, you know what? Cool. I did that on site at the parts.
Like in the parking lot?
Yeah. The other one I couldn't figure out counterclockwise, clockwise, whatever. It wasn't working. So I got home and go, you know what? It's hot out there. I'm just going to relax. I'll do it at night. I would say, like, according to people who put their install Tiguan bulb thing on YouTube, they say it takes 10 to 15 minutes. You know, you get off, you pull off the dust cover, you pull out the old bulb, you put the old bulb on, you make sure it's tight. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes. Well, it did the first time I tried it. And then when I went to go to HEB, it came loose. So when I got home, you could see smoke because the hot bulb is hitting against the thing it shouldn't hit. Mm. And then I would say it took like 2.5 more hours to figure it out. I got the scrapes on my hand because it's a tight squeeze.
Yeah,
even just you're hitting metal. So, yeah, I'm a guy who has changed my own brake pads before. So I thought, you know what? This is easy. Wrong. Oil changes I do, brake pads I do. This one. Embarrassing. I think I wasn't done until about 12:30.
Oh my God.
It's one, so of, the,
full...
one of the worst. Now, I didn't do it. Now, I didn't go for like, it wasn't from like 7 to 12:30. Yeah. Of course, I'm watching the Knicks, Cavs. You got the Astros and stuff, all that. But when it was time to get to it, I thought I'd be done by 10:30, 12:30. And then I had to drive around to make sure it wouldn't come loose because I've already experienced it coming loose again.
Yeah, and it has to.
And, you know, did I check
it? It has to last, whatever, 45 minutes.
Yeah, did I check it this morning once I got here? Yep, and we're good. So okay. I think I figured it out.
Mission accomplished.
But one of the more embarrassing moments. I'm glad I live alone. Because yeah, having to explain that tough, to someone, you're...
Tough with an audience.
Yeah. Like, are you still out there? Stop asking questions. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Hey, there's food on the table right now. Stop asking me questions. So this one was a prime example. Hey, living alone, not so bad. Didn't have to answer to the shame of being out there far longer for a light bulb, although it wasn't a car. Speaking of shame, the Cavs. That was a shameful display. There are things that you just come to expect. And you got to credit the Cavs who as a franchise outside of the LeBron James two stints were prone to these to something like this, but never this historic. But you also have to think about the combination of the Cavs with James Harden and think we should have seen something like this in the offing. Like James had his moments in the first couple rounds, the good and the bad. It's what we come to expect. As the series continues to go on, there are going to be moments where he's either non-existent or a clear minus for the team. And as he's gotten older, those moments have come earlier in series just because he's not the same guy he was. Yesterday was all of it in one. The Cavs' history of failing without when LeBron's not there, James's history, you throw in his age and all the things, the bad perimeter defense, it all came together. And a guy who has a history with them and knows them. Let's play this for Mike Brown. Mike Brown, former assistant for the Warriors, so he's had his time putting together game plans to defeat a James Harden-led team. Here's Mike Brown on what he knew from past experiences and how they implemented it last night.
You know, you hope telling your guys that it gives you a little bit of a psychological advantage. I'm a let out secret. When I was with Golden State, we played Houston in the playoffs. We counted James Harden's dribbles. And we told our guys, hey, he's dribbling close to 1,000 times. He's not doing that anymore because they got Donovan Mitchell. But at the time, we were like, he's dribbling almost 1,000 times a game. And, you know, our high guys, KD, at like 300 or right below 300, keep picking them up full court. Keep making them dribble because at the end of the series, at the end of games, it's going to wear them down.
Now, that was James in his prime when they're doing that. So imagine after one day of rest coming off a seven-game series. That's 2 7-game series in a row, right, for the Cavs? So one day while you've had all this time off, and the Cavs as a team simply wore down. You go into Detroit, you blow them out, but that's a strenuous series against a very physical team. After getting off to a slow start offensively, they only scored like 16 points in the first quarter. They got going, and it looked like they're going to run away from that one. From the Knicks, excuse me, and they were until about 8 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, and then they couldn't get stops, and they couldn't score. They outscored, I believe, 40-11?
44-11.
44-11?
Yeah. Bad stuff.
Yeah, that's bad. Kenny Atkinson said, when asked about why he didn't take James out, he goes, James is a good defender. He's one of our best. Now it's not the time for that, Kenny.
No. No, when James Harden is getting
targeted,
not just targeted,
roasted, targeted.
Absolutely like flambéed every time. Like it is like they're giving up the switch very easily.
It feels like while they were obviously milking clock, they also just stopped, you know, doing regular basketball stuff. Like, why are you just handing over to Jalen Brunson what he wants?
And it's like, I think it was either four straight possessions or it was like 5 out of 7 possessions. Like that's all they did was Jalen Brunson get James Harden on him and score and then points go. And that is like, I don't understand how you don't do anything. Like they didn't sub, they didn't change the defense. They didn't call a timeout. They didn't do anything.
Well, Kenny Atkinson loves holding his timeouts. He was afraid of not having them late in the game. And you know what? It was a close game. Probably because you called no timeouts.
18-1 run.
And you allowed it to get to that point. Look, maybe Kenny Atkinson's like me. I hate to give the road or the home fans in this case the belief that, hey, I don't like them getting excited because your team forced me to call a timeout. Yeah. I'm of the opinion, hey, we're not going to call a timeout. We're going to play through it. But at some point, you just got to call a timeout. Things aren't going well. You have to find an answer. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know why it was so easy and they're so willing to put their worst defender, even if Kenny Atkinson thinks he's pretty good. Whatever he thinks of him, fine. But in this case, he was having a bad outing.
Yeah.
This was a bad matchup. You just can't allow your team to be so willing to give the Knicks whatever they want.
Yeah, because what would happen is that Harden would be on OG Anunoby. Mm-hmm. OG Anunoby would come set a screen, and either Brunson would just get Harden on him, or they did start to kind of double, and then they give it to Anunoby. And Anunoby either makes a three or takes it to the rim or, you know, what have you. I don't understand why you're still just putting him on Anunoby. At least get a different guy involved. Like, make him have to play through Bridges. Make him have, like, okay, give Bridges that open shot. See if he can make it. Like, just, you have to try something else while you're just hemorrhaging point. Like, a 15-1 run is ridiculous to just allow happen. Now, we are talking a lot about the defense, that, you know, if they go 44 points and
they only scored the 11
12 minutes
over the course of 12 minutes themselves.
Yes. And I think it was like three field goals. It was something like just absolutely
Harden knocked down a shot late to give them a 2-point lead.
Made like a mid-range.
Yeah. And then the Knicks were able to respond.
There's a tip in from either Allen or Mobley.
Yeah. So they were inept in all ways. And the Knicks didn't have fast break points.
No.
It was just
running offense.
An utter beatdown. And the Knicks, who had changed their offense after struggling early against the Cavs, they had flipped things, and that led them on this run where they were dominating teams. And at least
after game three of the Hawks.
The first three quarters or so, that offense was being handled by the Cavs. And then they went back to the offense where Jalen Brunson does everything. And
boom.
And then they lit the Knicks up, or excuse me, the Cavs up for 44 points over the final 12 minutes of the game. While we were talking about, hey, is it the JV series? And look, it wasn't well played through the first 3.5 quarters, but we're 2-for-2 when it comes to bangers for different reasons, and they got there differently. But as far as the conference finals are concerned, I got no complaints. We'll see what the Thunder and the Spurs do tonight.
No, two nights in, what, three overtimes?
Yeah.
That's what you get.
This is what we want.
Yeah. And there still is a little bit of, like, this feels like a step down in, like, the, you know, quality of basketball that you're saying, because it is, like, James Harden just getting roasted every time down the court.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I don't think this would happen in the Western Conference.
I think the other coaches, Mitch Johnson and Mark Daigneault, would find some answers. Yeah. They wouldn't be deer in the headlights like Kenny Atkinson was.
A, there's not many guys on the court for either the West teams would get roasted.
Here's the thing in the difference. The Cavs traded for James Harden because they believe, as they were previously constituted, they had no shot. Garland was hurt.
Yeah.
They don't think he was going to be good enough or healthy enough, so they tried to find an answer. James Harden wouldn't be traded for or wouldn't play. He doesn't fit what the Spurs and the Thunder want to be. He would not play for them. They wouldn't trade for him. And the Cavs have positioned him as their second most important player.
And what was interesting in last night's game is that, like, Donovan Mitchell better have been hurt or something.
Yeah, he looked, besides despondent, limping as that game was, as he was walking back to the locker room.
And they're just playing through Harden on offense at the end, where it just, like, doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because A, James Harden late in the game. B, he's getting flambéed on defense. So he's having to work on defense. And then I know we haven't barely scored in the last 5 minutes of this game, but here you go. Here's the ball. Get us a good look, Harden. Like, while he's, what, 5-for-14 or whatever he was.
Another night where he turns the ball over more times than made shots.
I was tracking that as we got close. I was like, I was ready for the Nick Wright tweet to hit. It's not good. Not good when, like, people are like, why is your second best player in this game? Why isn't Max Strus? Why don't you substitute Max Strus for your second best player?
Max Strus ain't afraid of the moment.
They put him in. What'd he do?
Knock down a shot.
Boom.
Yeah.
They did also turn the ball over. Reed Shepherd-ish. But,
yeah, that wasn't great for the veteran.
Not great.
Reed at least has the excuse. I'm young.
Hey.
I'm a second-year player.
I'm a little baby. Come on.
Strus, you've played in finals games. What are you doing?
Yeah. But it's not good when people are calling for Strus. Strus makes a shot. And I'm like, see? Like, that's just not a good place to find yourself in overtime. Because I think it was in overtime. In overtime of a game that you're up.
Was it the only shot they
22.
Made in overtime? I think it was.
Oh, my God.
They only scored the 3 points. I think his shot was the only shot they made. That's how bad they were.
That absolutely. I don't use this word lightly. Shambolic performance. You're up 22. I was ready to think about this series differently. I was ready to give the Cavs a serious chance.
You're like, oh yeah, let's take this team seriously. And then they became the most unserious team in basketball.
Nope.
And if you exclude the LeBron years, the entire city has dealt with their sports teams being maybe not historically terrible when it comes to giving up leads, but it's an entire city that's dealt with the things from the 80s with the Browns and LA. And then, of course, we know the current Browns are stinky. And then the Indians at the time, the Indians, they blew a game 7 to the Marlins. They blew a game 7 to the course 6 or 7 to the Cubs.
Cubs, it was game 7.
Yeah. So they've got this on their jacket, and this is just another one on it for the city of Cleveland.
Cleveland is so bad, or their sports history is so rough. That recently, I remember it was Game 7, because recently the now Guardians did a giveaway, a bobblehead commemorative giveaway of the Rajah Davis home run from Game 7 that tied the game, that they later went on to lose.
You don't honor moments when you lose in a Game 7 of the World Series. What are we doing?
The Cleveland Indians do.
I'm sure there was a moment when Greinke struck out a dude. In his start.
Yeah. Commemorating the
Do I remember it?
6 innings, 1 earned run ball.
Do I remember that? No. Why would I?
Like the Dodgers being like, hey, Cody Bellinger did hit a home run in Game 5 of the World Series in 2017.
Yeah, game they lost. What are you doing? Well, it is Cleveland. What else are they going to have to
Yeah,
celebrate?
No, there is an element of like, I get it.
Yeah.
But still.
Every Cleveland giveaway should be LeBron's block.
If for the baseball.
Guardians, the Browns, the Cavs. It should be Kyrie. Well, you can alternate Kyrie shot. LeBron's block and LeBron's look back at Steph. Those are the three. All from that finals. That's all you give out. Because what else?
I mean, honestly, you just make bobbleheads. Each individual on that team. Like, you can just have a Tyronn Lue bobblehead.
Yeah.
You can
back when coaches still wore suits. All of it. Yeah.
Was Mozgov on the team that won? I know he was on the team that lost.
Don't remember.
I actually don't think it was.
Richard Jefferson, I'm sure, made a play or two.
Yep. Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson starting their podcast commemorative bobblehead. Hey, in this locker room, that's where the Road Tripping podcast was born.
I'm trying to think of things similar. Like if the Eagles threw out an A.J. Brown touchdown catch in that Chiefs loss, like when he like bodied a couple guys and caught that ball. We've given that away?
Lindale White 3 touchdown game against Texas in the national championship game.
What are we talking about?
It was a big game for Lindale White.
Great. The thing is, USC would never, because Lindale White participated in another national title and won it. So it never would be a thing.
Yeah, no, that is.
It's just difficult that Cleveland has very little to attach themselves to as far as success, that they have to go to a game that crushed the souls of that city.
It's Rajah Davis, dude.
What's going to be from this game?
From the Cleveland game?
The Strus shot, they were still trailing, so it can't be that.
Strus shot hurt around at least my living room.
When they went up 93-71, whatever shot that was,
yeah.
You honor that?
The Harden mid-range jumper to tie the game.
Possibly.
Or whatever it was.
After Donovan Mitchell went on a bit of a run, the Spider-Man celebration, something like that. It's very few. Yeah. not as very few things they can talk about and react to positively.
Because I think Cleveland would have been fine if they'd only commemorated the ALCS win.
Yeah.
That is fair.
Making
game.
The World Series is very cool.
To commemorate the game 7 that you lost
at home.
At home. Wild move. I can't get behind that. But if they want to make, you know, whatever, I forgot who they played in the ALCS that year. But it was before the Astros were involved, so who cares?
Exactly.
But yeah, if they want to do like probably either the Blue Jays or Rangers. I forgot. But yeah, if you want to commemorate that, go for it. But no. You can't do the series you lost. You can't do the Eric Gordon 38-point game in game 4 of the 2018
Chris, the Chris Paul shimmy in game 5 or whatever game he did that to
yeah,
Steph.
Yeah, I think
was it early? Probably early in the series, right? Because he got
that
hurt.
Was the one he got hurt.
Yeah, that would be game 5 then, right?
Yeah. So or maybe it was like 1 or 2.
I think it might have been earlier than that. Yeah. But either way, we don't do that here.
No.
Because titles have been won.
Yeah.
A long time ago now, but titles have been won.
We'll just do, I don't know. We'll do Alperen Şengün dressed as Harry Potter. That's what we'll do.
Maybe even more embarrassing in some ways. All right, we'll go to break with that. Hour 1 done. Hour 2 when we come back. You want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Sean, I want you to imagine. And I've talked about it off air, talked about it on air, and it was pushed back last show. The thought of a current NFL coordinator, Nader, suing the Texans, and the Texans needing someone to take the stand. If it gets to that, I think it would be one of the better things I've ever seen. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.